We see the apostate church first in the Great Tribulation, chapter 17. And then we'll see not only the religious Babylon, but commercial Babylon in chapter 18. Now, we see first of all the great harlot riding the wild beast, and then the wild beast destroys the great harlot. That's the picture that's before us. Now, friends, in many ways, this is the most frightful chapter that there is in the Word of God. There's nothing quite equal to this. Here in the Great Tribulation period, as we've indicated, many great issues are brought to a crisis, and it is difficult to keep them separated. And many fine expositors disagree on details here in the Great Tribulation period. As we've gone through it, I know that there have been several that take a little different position, although the system of interpretation they agree with, but we disagree on details. And may I say that I do not think is too important. That is evident here in the two Babylons in chapter 17 and 18. Now, there are several questions that arise here. Are there two Babylons? And are they in two different geographical locations? Are they representative of two different systems? Are they two literal systems, or are they the same? The answers to these questions, I think, will become clearer as our redemption draweth nigh. But it appears at the present time, that is, in my judgment, that two distinct cities are in view. Now, in chapter 17, it's Mystery Babylon, the cosmic church, the apostate church of Thyatira, which permitted Jezebel to teach, which becomes the apostate church of the Great Tribulation. It has attained the goal of the present-day apostates of all of the great systems of the world, Romanism, Protestantism, pagan religions, and the cults and the isms. And may I say to you, even in our independent and so-called Bible churches today, there will be those that are not believers that go into a great organization in the Great Tribulation period. It may call itself a church, but it's not. The Bible calls it a harlot. The Word of God labels it a harlot. And you can't have it any worse than that. This is ecumenical ecclesiasticism of the one world church. And the location of this system, well, it could be in Rome. I think that's the city that's in mind here. But friends, Geneva, where the World Council of Churches is also included. And I think that many other places also. Los Angeles can make a healthy contribution to it if I know Los Angeles, and I think I do. Now, it's called Mystery Babylon because of its origin. You see, at the Tower of Babel, man attempted to rally against God. Under Nimrod, Babylon became the origin of all false religion. Now the dream of Nimrod will be realized in the first half of the Great Tribulation when the cosmic church dominates the wild beast. The church that should have been the bride of Christ is a harlot here. You see, this church is guilty of spiritual fornication, selling herself to the world for hire. This is the church that says, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. Now, when we were looking back at the seven churches, you remember I said, I believe it's the church in Philadelphia that goes out at the time of the rapture of the church, before the Great Tribulation period. And he said to that church, I'm going to keep you from the hour that's coming on the earth. Well, we've been in that hour a long time now in this study. And it's the Great Tribulation period. Now, his church does not go through. It's raptured. But who's raptured? Not denominations, or not individual churches, but his church are believers, those that are in Christ. Now, that's the group that are taken out. And the rest of the crowd of church members are left here on this earth. As Dr. George Gill used to put it, he says, some churches, the day after the rapture, when they meet on Sunday, Well, that would mean he's coming on Saturday, but regardless, the next Sunday, many of the churches will meet and won't miss a member. And that group will go into the great tribulation period. But let's understand, they're not believers. That is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's never labeled his church. This is called a harlot. And you can't make it any worse than that. This is the pseudo-religious system. And Dr. Pentecost, in his excellent book, Things to Come, has given this comment concerning the harlot system. The beast who was dominated by the harlot system rises against her and destroys her and her system completely. Without doubt, the harlot system was in competition with the religious worship of the beast promoted by the false prophet, and her destruction is brought about so that the beast may be the sole object of false worship as he claims to be God. Now, Babylon is to be rebuilt, as we have already seen that from Isaiah and also Jeremiah. And we see here this destruction of Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. Now, ecclesiastical Babylon is destroyed by the wild beast. Commercial Babylon is destroyed by the return of Christ. Ecclesiastical Babylon is hated by the beast. Commercial Babylon is loved by the world. Ecclesiastical Babylon is destroyed at the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Commercial Babylon is destroyed at the end of the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, that is, at the very end. Now, Zechariah had something to say about that in the 5th chapter, and I'm not taking time to turn to that. Now, I want to read verses 1. I think I'll read down through verse 3, and I'm going to read from my translation again. I don't recommend it, but we are giving you the literal. And there came one of the 7 angels that had the 7 bowls and spoke with me, saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and they that dwell in the earth were made drunken with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored wild beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, as we come here to this great harlot riding the wild beast, and it's frightful. That beast, by the way, is the Roman Empire that will be brought back together again by Antichrist. And I think with the assistance of a false church, that is a system that will be made up, I think, of folk from all groups. To try to label this one group, I think, has been a mistake on the part of some in the past. Now, this is the great harlot, and I do not have words to describe how frightful this picture is here. Now, the church of Thyatira only permitted Jezebel to teach, but the apostate church of the Great Tribulation is a harlot more frightful than was Jezebel. And it is a church that's made up of church members who are not believers, are of the body of Christ, and this is the group that enters the Great Tribulation. Now, we're told certain things about her, that she sitteth upon many waters. Now, that means great masses of people and nations. It will control pretty well the world. And the kings of the earth committed fornication. Shows that there is an unholy alliance between church and state during that period. May I say this, that this movement today of bringing all religions together, in my book, it's not of God. It certainly falls into the pattern of this false church that is to appear and isn't even dignified here by the name of church. It's going to call itself, I'm sure, a church, but it's not. And I believe that this movement is more dangerous to our own country than communism is, I believe it's more dangerous than the new morality is, and I believe it's more dangerous today than any other movement. I think it is the number one dangerous movement today. This is going to be a power block that'll dazzle the unthinking mob, and they'll come under the influence of the wild beast out of the sea, the wild beast out of the earth. Now, they're made religious alcoholics. You see, when you reject the genuine, you are wide open for the spurious. And that is the thing that Paul said to the Thessalonians, that having rejected the love of the truth, they will believe the big lie. And so this cup of judgment will be pressed to the lips of the harlot. And who's going to destroy her? Well, the beast himself. You see, the Antichrist and the false prophet, they don't want her around because Antichrist wants to be worshipped, and he doesn't want competition. And this church will at least talk about God, although they don't believe in it. And this is the picture that's given to us. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored wild beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, he tells us here that he was carried away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I think that we need to notice that there are two factors here that we haven't seen before. Into a wilderness. Now, remember that John was on the Isle of Patmos in the spirit for the vision of the glorified Christ and his message to the churches. And at that time, John was caught up to heaven. From then on, the scene shifts from heaven to earth. However, here we are told again that John was in the Spirit. Did he need a fresh anointing of the Spirit for this vision? I rather think so. Is the wilderness literal? Well, remember, this chapter is a vision where symbols are used. Now, around both Babylon and Rome, there is a literal wilderness, which is a matter of recorded history. Babylon was to become a wilderness, and in this connection, you could read Isaiah 47:48, Jeremiah 50:51. Now, outside of Rome is the wilderness, and it's called the Campania. We believe that the wilderness mentioned in this verse is literal, but also that it's a sign of the chaotic condition of the world brought about by the religious confusion of Babylon. Now, John saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, and this is frightful and frightening. The wild beast has been identified as Antichrist and the empire over which he rules, the restored Roman Empire. Now, the woman is identified for us here in verse 18. The woman is a city, and the city is Rome, the religious capital of the world. Probably we should pick that up. For God hath put it into their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So that we can identify her. It is religious Rome which has inherited all of the religions of the world at that time. You see, all of them, because the true believers out of Romanism, and there are many real believers there, the real believers today that are in liberal churches, and there are many, by the way. I've discovered that through this radio program. And there are believers today in some very weird systems. I'm convinced of that. Now, they'll all be raptured, and that leaves a church that's totally apostate. Not the bride of Christ, but it's called a harlot here, and full of the names of blasphemy. And that will show how far religion has departed from the living Christ. And it's clothed in purple and scarlet. And purple was the predominant color of Roman imperialism. Every senator and knight wore a purple stripe as a badge, and scarlet is the color that was also used. And gilded with gold shows the beauty of the outward display. But like the Pharisees, it is within, full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. And the precious stone and pearls are pretty cold, though they may be genuine and are a sordid imitation of genuine, heartfelt religion. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess." And a golden cup full of abominations is the religious intoxication of the anti-church. Now, not Antichrist, but anti-church and a pseudo-religion. Counterfeit Christianity, a fake and false gospel, and a sham and spurious system. This is the cup which makes the world drunk. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. That's Jeremiah 51:7. And upon her forehead is a name written. And this is startling. Mystery. Babylon the Great. I'm going to have to reserve to next time that. But I want you to know that there's something revealed here that reveals that this one world church is not going to really be a one world church. I want to read verses 4 through 5. I'm reading this section in my translation. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and gilded with gold and precious stone and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication, and upon her forehead a name written, Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now, as we come back here to this, there are several things that we would like to say here. John saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. And this is a frightful and frightening picture. The wild beast has previously been identified as the Antichrist, ruling over the restored Roman Empire. And the woman, we have already seen, is a city and a religious system. And that city, we believe, is Rome. Babylon, as later on we'll see, is the commercial center. And this is the city that has the seven hills. Horace wrote, "The gods who look with favor on the seven hills." And Ovid added, "But Rome looks around on the whole globe from her seven mountains, the seat of empire and abode of the gods." And Augustine put it like this, "Babylon is a former Rome, and Rome is a later Babylon." Now, in these verses, the city of Rome is assuredly in view. The woman, the harlot, representing a religious system that will be during the great first part of the Great Tribulation when the true church is removed from the earth. And this religious system, as the symbol given to us here indicates, dominates and rides the Roman Empire at the beginning of the Great Tribulation period. And certainly Antichrist just doesn't like that. In fact, the matter is, he's going to do something about it, as we shall see today. Now, this is just about as frightening as anything could be. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, I know that we live in a day of new morality and that a woman today has the same sexual freedom that a man has, that is, according to the new morality. But I'm a little old-fashioned and I'm a square and I still think the Word of God is right. I think the finest thing in this world is a woman, and that God has made her that way. And when she marries, she is brought into a relationship where she gives a man, in fact, it's what puts a man into orbit. And it's my firm conviction today that the thing that's lacking in our civilization is that woman has not been liberated, but she's actually been enslaved and become more of a sex symbol than she's ever been before, and that instead of taking a place where she can lift a man to the height, she can pull him now down to the depths. And the picture of that woman, and it's the lowest picture that you can have, is a picture of a harlot. And here is the picture. You may not like it, but this is the picture that's in the Word of God. Now, the true church is a mystery in that it was not revealed in the Old Testament. But the anti-church, or the church of the Great Tribulation, although I hasten to say, it's never once called a church in the New Testament. It is called a harlot. That's putting it plain enough. And it's a mystery in that it was not revealed until John wrote Revelation 17. Because the true church left the earth, what happened to the false? What happened to the phonies? What happened to those that were just church members? Well, they entered the Great Tribulation period. And the system went on. The organizational church continued. But it's not called a church. It's a harlot. And it's removed from Christ. And we are told, Paul said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Now, the anti-church is the antithesis of the true church, which is the virgin bride of Christ. And it is the consummation of the working of the mystery of iniquity. It's mystery Babylon because it's given this designation, as Jerusalem is called Sodom, by the way. Babylon is the fountainhead of all false religion. Therefore, she's the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I think this is by far Scripture's most expressive and vivid picture of awful and abominable sin. Sex and false religions are related. You can be sure of that. And I believe that many a young person today is really missing it in marriage. When a girl doesn't come as a virgin to the marriage the first time, and the man has not kept himself for the marriage. Now, we have here in verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to read them. And maybe before I move into that, I should also say this. Did you notice that this mystery Babylon is called the mother of harlots? That's interesting. The mother of harlots, not singular. Now, that means that all of this ecumenical church today that is coming together has had a lot of problems. They've, I think, decided now that they can't just water it down and all of them come the same way. That, after all, there are psychological differences which they recognize. So each group is going to come into this great world ecumenical movement, but retain some of its peculiarities. Those that want to immerse, they'll immerse. Those that want to sprinkle, they'll sprinkle. And those that like elaborate ritual, they'll keep it. Those that don't want a ritual, they'll not have it. But this is the mother of harlots. There's going to be a whole lot of harlots here, friends. This is going to be a regular brothel that's going to be established in that day. Now, will you note verses 6 and 7? And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great wonder. And this is the first time that John had his mind boggled, by the way. Ours has been boggled before, but this really throws him. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, the wild beast that's carrying her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, the harlot not only makes others drunk, but she's intoxicated by her acts of persecution. And I think that believers at the end of the history of the true church, I think that we're not going through the great tribulation, but I think that it's becoming increasingly difficult today to to stand for the Word of God and the things of Christ. I'm finding it so, and I think other men are also. Now, the saints here refer, I think, to Old Testament saints, and the martyrs of Jesus, I think, refer to New Testament saints. Now, this indicates that Babylon is more than just what most people have said is Rome. It's more than that. It's an amalgam of all religions. All the true believers were caught up at the rapture. Babylon is the residue of what is left. It is a composite church which includes Protestantism, cults, Romanism, the whole lot that were not raptured, you see. Now, it is confusion compounded and is the fountainhead of all religious error and idolatry. Babylon in the Old Testament persecuted God's people, was the enemy of God. It was Babylon that put the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace before they would not worship the image. Now, John marveled at the harlot because this was something that was new to him. The angel asked John why he should wonder when he was present to explain the mystery of the woman. And John is here emphasizing the Roman Empire aspect of the wild beast rather than the Antichrist aspect. And I think we should note that. Now, notice verses 8 through 10. The wild beast which thou sawest was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into perdition. And those dwelling on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written upon the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold a wild beast, because it was, is not, and shall come, that is, be present. Here is the mind having wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings, the five have fallen, the one is, the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a little while. Now, the wild beast speaks of the past history of the Roman Empire. The is not here refers to the present condition of the fragmented empire. In other words, the Roman Empire is not dead. It's just fallen apart in the nations of Europe today. Is about to come up out of the abyss, speaks of the reactivation of the Roman Empire by Satan. Now, as we've indicated before, many have attempted that, but have never been able to put it together again. Charlemagne tried it, Napoleon tried it, Hitler tried it, Mussolini tried it, and today the United Nations tried it, but so far it hasn't worked. But the wild beast, the Antichrist, will put it back together again, and you'll have the Roman Empire. Now, it is not refers to the present condition, you see, of the fragmented empire, and is about to come up out of the abyss. That's the reactivation of it. Now, it's going into perdition, speaks of the destruction of the Roman Empire by the coming of Christ. The reappearance of the Roman Empire and its great power will win the admiration of the peoples of the world who not redeemed. They'll respect and worship the Antichrist for his brilliant coup d'etat. God's saints will have the mind of the Spirit. They'll understand and not be spiritually stupid. John said, but ye have the unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things, but the anointing which ye've received of him abideth in you, and ye needeth not that any teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now there are seven kings. Now that's taken by some, including Dr. Newell and Govey, who are two excellent commentators on Revelation. They say five have fallen. Well, Govey gives the following list. Julius Caesar was assassinated. Tiberius was poisoned or smothered. Caligula was assassinated. Claudius poisoned, and Nero committed suicide. That's the five. The one who is refers to Domitian, who was living in John's day, and he was assassinated. Now, the other that's yet to come refers to Antichrist. Now, other expositors, including Dr. Scofield and Walter Scott, they consider these seven as the different forms of government through which Rome passed. Kings, consuls, dictators, decemvirs, and military tribunes. And the one that refers to the sixth, or the imperial form of government set up by Julius Caesar, and that which is to come would be the satanic form. Now let's move on here to verses 11 and 14. And the beast that was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is of the seven, and is going into perdition. And the two horns that thou sawest are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority as kings with the wild beast for 1 hour. These have one mind, and they give their power and authority unto the beast. These shall war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him called and chosen. Now, at times, the wild beast signifies generally the Roman Empire, but it signifies also the last or eighth head, that is, the individual emperor who is Antichrist. Now, here the Antichrist is designated. He's the little horn of Daniel who puts down three horns, that is, three kings, when he comes to power. Now, I'm not taking time, and I wish I could take time to go back to Daniel, but we had that in the seventh chapter of Daniel. And you ought to have my book on Daniel. In that book, we go into a great deal of detail. Now, the beast that was refers to the past history of the Roman Empire under the emperors, and it's not refers to the end of Imperial Rome with its global empire, which came to an end sometime between the 3rd and 5th century. And he is himself also the 8th, but is of the 7. Now, that identifies the Antichrist with a return to the imperial form of the restored Roman Empire. He's the little horn of Daniel 7. He's not only one of the 10 horns, but is separate from them. And he is an eighth head in this 7, yet he's one of the 7 since he restores the last form of government to Rome. Now, that will confuse you, I know, but that's exactly what is being said here. The 10 horns are the same as the 10 horns of Daniel. So we are talking about the same thing. Now let me read verses 15 through 18. And he saith to me, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest and the beasts, these shall hate the harlot and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her down with fire. For God did put into their hearts to do his mind, and to come to one mind, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman whom thou sawest is the great city, which hath a kingdom over the kingdoms of the earth. That is a religious system that dominated at first. But the thing is, the harlot is hated by Antichrist and the kings under him. And the waters here are explained to be the many, I think, ethnological groups, as well as the nations of the world. Now, this figure here is in harmony with that used in the Old Testament. You could check that out with Isaiah 8:7, Psalm 18:4. Now, the position of the harlot reveals that she is ruling over them for but a brief time. The 10 horns are 10 kings, and that's told us here, who rule over the different divisions of the Roman Empire. Now, they in turn give over to the beast their kingdom, which solidifies the Roman Empire and enables the beast to lift himself up as a world dictator. Now, for a time, the beast, the Antichrist, is willing to share his place of exaltation with the harlot, since she has also sought to advance his cause while dividing his glory. This he hates. And the 10 kings are one with him in this. The Antichrist not only breaks his covenant with Israel, but he also breaks his relationship with the apostate church. This hatred against the apostate church is so violent that the reaction here is described as the cannibalistic picking of her bones, then burning them with fire. What hatred! And this destroys the false church. This is what happens to the false church. It has no victory. It never comes into the presence of Christ. It is not raptured. It's destroyed by Antichrist. Now, in this, the Antichrist and his 10 allies are fulfilling the word of God and carrying out his will, as did the Assyrian, as predicted in Isaiah 10, and just as surely as Caesar Augustus did when he signed a tax bill that moved Mary and Joseph down to Bethlehem so Scripture could be fulfilled. Now, by eliminating the apostate church, the way now is cleared for the worship of Antichrist, as advocated by the false prophet. And the woman is further identified as a city, the city of Rome. We're told that in verse 9. Now, this is the frightful but just end of the apostate church. However, it does not improve the situation, but rather it introduces the darkest period for religion in the history of the world. The reign and religion of Antichrist is the darkest hour earth has known. Yet it is inevitable end of the distrust which began in the Garden of Eden when man didn't believe God. It was given a new impetus at the Tower of Babel when man built a tower against God, a rallying place for those against God. And finally, it culminated in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ when they rejected the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The only alternative was now to believe the big lie, the strong delusion, and it culminates in the catastrophic coming of Christ to this earth. We're going to see that when we get to the 19th chapter. This is the just retribution of error and evil.